It's time for Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio. Johnny Radio.
Yo, welcome into a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. It's a little two for Tuesday. We got a little NBA action tonight. 76ers and the Knicks. Can the Knicks close out the series in New York? Philadelphia, they got their injured superstar, Joel Embiid. We will talk all kinds of basketball, especially at 12 o'clock because we have my good buddy, Zach Boyd, coming on. We're going to talk about today's action, because not only do you have the 76ers and the Knicks, you got the Magic and the Cavs. You got the Pacers and the Bucks. Now, you know, the Magic and the Cavs, they're all knotted up at two games apiece. That series is a little nuts. Cleveland came out and punched them in the face first two games. I'm like, this is going to be ugly. And then the Magic countered and almost had two knockout blows to the Cavs. These games have not been close. They have been one big beat down after another, but by both teams. Then the Pacers and the Bucks tonight. Can't wait to talk about that one, man. The Bucks down in the series 3-1. Yes, you heard that right. But, man, the Pacers, you got to give them a lot of credit. Miles Turner's the truth. Miles Turner, 6'11", shooting threes, making plays. We got a lot of NBA to break down. Plus, you know, we had some action last night. And, of course, LeBron James was in on the action. So we're going to talk a little bit about L.A. and Denver. Jamal Murray was awesome. I mean, two game-winning shots. One going down the right side over Anthony Davis. His time expired. A crazy shot where he falls in the corner and everybody buries him. Anthony Davis almost looks like he's going to get, like, you know, run over by all the Indiana fans. But then last night, going to his left, finishing with the right, tough shot, but so pretty, nothing but net. My goodness, Jamal Murray. That dude does not get the credit he deserves. There was so many things they were talking about last, like people were talking about. Like Jamal Murray, do you know how many All-Star games he's had?
Zero.
Pretty wild, isn't it?
It is wild.
I mean, Jamal Murray is... I mean, the best team in the world right now, you would still have to say, is the Denver Nuggets. Minnesota and Denver are going to start this series off on Saturday. Minnesota has something to say about that. And that's going to be a hell of a series that we're going to talk about. But damn, man, when I look at this Nuggets team, I listen to Mike Malone talk after the ball game. I see what Jamal Murray does, the big shots. Down the stretch, my man's got ice water going through his veins. Jokic makes the big pass. But when you talk about a team, they are just a team. I mean, Jokic is the dude. Don't get me wrong. He is that man. Jamal Murray's the closer. But Aaron Gordon's defense and athleticism are absolutely ridiculous. The way that guy gets rebounds off missed shots. Defends. He's going to be on Ant-Man on this series. You know that. I mean, he's guarding the best player on the other team. You got Michael Porter Jr., who is tall, long, and Jonte's brother, who's not suspended from the association. The dude is just a stroker. Can flat out hit all the shots that you need him to take care of. Like, you look at that team as a team. They play together. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope hits big shots when he's called upon. Like, they were down in this series. And I don't know how many people realize this. For 165 minutes. The Lakers led the series for 165 minutes. The Nuggets only led for 59 minutes. 16 minutes it was tied. But it was a 4-1 sweep. I mean, a 4-1 gentleman sweep. Because down the stretch, man, this Nuggets team just knows how to... I mean, they just make the right plays. They just do it. Reggie Jackson played great. I mean, The whole team as a collective just goes out there and does everything that you ask them to do. And then Jokic, this dude's so ridiculous. Everybody's talking about Murray, who had 32 points, the game winner, 7 dimes. But let's not forget Jokic had 25 points. He had 20 boards and 9 assists, almost another triple-double. Just a damn freak. But Saturday, the only bad thing about this series is it's not till Saturday, which could be good for Jamal Murray's calf. But man, last night Jamal Murray did his thing. He is a bad man. What else can you say? They just do it. They just do it the right way. And Anthony Davis, him getting his shoulder banged up, I think that did hurt the Lakers down the stretch. Also think the fact that D'Lo plays for the Lakers hurt the Lakers. He doesn't really give you anything. And I feel bad actually for Darvin Ham. I was listening to a little sports talk this morning. Of course, I don't know why I always pay attention to Jay Williams stuff, because he's always on the Twitter and he's always on some radio station or TV talking crazy. And he's calling for Darvin Ham's job. We know Anthony Davis said earlier in the series that they didn't know what they were doing down the stretch. Darvin Ham had a little pushback on that. But, man, when you listen to Mike Malone after that ball game, I thought it was pretty impressive. He was talking about how Darvin Ham is an unbelievable coach. He's done a great job. Hopefully he can keep that job, and how difficult that job is. And then went in right into saying how great LeBron James is. He's played forever, and that's a great team and all that stuff. But basically he was saying, like, you know, could you imagine having to deal with Anthony Davis and LeBron James? The L.A. market. And Darvin Ham has still only lost in the playoffs to the Denver Nuggets the last 2 years. Now, were they 10 seed this year? Yeah, that was terrible. But they did win the play-in tournament. So they can put that up on the walls, right? No, but we're going to have to see what's going to happen with L.A. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with their coach situation. You know, LeBron James has until June 29th. He can decide if he wants to opt into his final year of his contract. Or did you know LeBron James can become a free agent if he wants? We'll find that out before June 29th. He says by the way, last night, you know, when he was talking in the post game, he said basically, like, you know, he's going to basically see what's best for his career, talk to his agent, talk to his family, talk to his wife Savannah and his children, and they're going to collectively decide on their future. So it will probably be late June before we know, but I'm kind of curious what's going to happen, because, you know, remember in all like Bronny James has declared for the NBA draft. He's always said he wanted to play with his son, but damn it, I bet LeBron James don't like going out like that, like 2 years in a row losing to the Nuggets. And yes, they might have been a 10 seed, but damn, they gave the Nuggets all they wanted and some more. I mean, it's crazy. They led those games every game they led by double digits. Yet they could only win one. In fact, they were only able to win one of the last 13 games they played against the Nuggets. Who knows what's going to happen with LeBron James? I think it's going to be a fascinating situation. And I'm sure last night you also saw, since LeBron James is out of the playoffs, Kevin Durant's out of the playoffs, and guess who else is out of the playoffs? That would be one Steph Curry. How long do you think it's been since the playoffs have had no LeBron, no KD, no Steph in the second round? How long do you think? What year were you born?
I was born 2000.
So you were 5 years old. So you don't remember a second round of the NBA playoffs with at least one of these dudes in it?
Guess not. How about that?
I mean, can you remember anything from when you were 5 years old? Because I know I sure can't.
Yeah, a couple things, but not like
when you were five.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I mean, I don't remember. Like, I know anything. Something that comes to mind when I was three, but like I don't know.
Three?
That, yeah, when I was five, so maybe not.
Man, what is wrong with my memory? I think like my first.
Well, you're much older than me.
It's like my 10th birthday.
Sure. I mean, you lose some of those memories as you get older, I'm sure. Because you need more space in your brain to fill up with all those, you know, old man memories.
Yeah, I still think, though, that we're all just getting dumber because we don't actually remember anything because of our phones.
Probably right.
It's so easy to find something out, bing, bang, boom. And by the way, the thing that's so funny is I don't ever know if we're finding out the truth. Because whatever you ask your phone, you can find an argument on both sides for it.
Sure.
Pretty interesting.
But every illness you have is cancer.
Oh, yeah, that's the scary thing about WebMD. But, yeah, it's the first time we haven't had KD, Steph, LeBron since 2005. That's for, like, people like my man Brian Dacus. That's basically his whole life in memory. I mean, again, 1 through 5, I ain't remembering Jack. But now it's like a new era. And Jamal Murray, by the way, like you said, you know, Jokic is that superstar. But Jamal Murray, most underrated player right now, again, already has a title. He's so unique. He has 0 all-star appearances. He has no all-NBA teams, obviously. No regular season accolades at all. None. But did you know that only Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, and AI freaking Allen Iverson have more 50-point playoff games?
Wow.
Did you know? Think about that.
It's crazy.
That's it.
Yeah.
MJ, Wilt, and Allen Iverson.
It's a good, good group to be with.
I mean, he's already got one just ridiculous playoff run last year under his belt, and the start of this one looks even better than last year's. Like, Series 1, Lakers, 2-game winners. At the buzzer. In your house. I mean, that was a 32-point game last night. Makes the shot to win it, going left off one leg, shooting with his right hand. And did you not know how – like, didn't you feel, honestly, like, once he had the ball in his hand, you're like, oh, they're about to win this game. He's going to hit this shot. And he also hit that huge three-pointer. Like, I mean, and again, Aaron Gordon, who got the big rebound. There was Aaron Gordon, Anthony Davis, and Rui down in the bottom, all fighting for it. And who comes back with it? Aaron Gordon kicks it out to an open Jamal Murray, buries the damn three. If you can't tell, I like this Nuggets team. I love the fact that Mike Malone's like the fourth member of the Beastie Boys. I like the fact that Jamal Murray's the kid out of Kentucky that just is always overlooked, but yet is in the playoffs silky smooth and ridiculous. I love the high-flying antics of Aaron Gordon. I mean, my man is a flyer. He will tomahawk dunk on your face. And then Michael Porter is just a cold-blooded assassin out there. Love this team. But damn it, man, Saturday when they line up to play Minnesota, that's going to be scary awesome. And I'm kind of curious, with my love for this Denver team, because one, I mean, it's kind of hard. Like, you know, new things come in. Denver was what they were last year. You like them. Like, how can you not like a 7-foot Serbian who doesn't look like he's in shape dominating everybody in the world? It's fun. Like, this is a fun team. But, you know, Minnesota and Ant-Man, did you see him the other day doing the X to the I would call it the crotch area? Did you hear him in his post-game telling Big Cat? Did you know, I can't say the words that he said on air, but did you see his post-game presser?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had Kendrick Perkins crack it up on Twitter doing all kinds of funny stuff. Like, Anthony Edwards was telling Big Cat, basically, hey, big idiot, can you play basketball without fouling? And he was dropping all kinds of colorful language. I'm calling some adverbs and some adjectives and all kinds of good stuff. But he's really cool. But there is a dude on that team called Mike Conley. And I don't know how you don't like Mike Conley. Like, I love Mike Conley. Mike Conley is still balling. And how cool would it be? He didn't get one with the Grizzlies, but how cool would it be, one of the greatest point guards ever to come through this franchise? One of the greatest people, period. I mean, when he came out of Ohio State and came to Memphis, what he went through when he first got here, to become the player that he is and to be the man that he is and the class act. He carries himself with class. I mean, how can you not like Mike Conley? How cool would it be seeing him get a ring and be contributing at this age? A serious factor. I'm sure, I know for me, I sure as hell am rooting for him. And I like this Minnesota team. Do you remember how much I used – well, you know me. I'm wishy-washy. I change like the wind. And I still don't like Rudy. Don't get me wrong. I still can't stand that fool. But I overlook him for a few reasons. I overlook him because Mike Conley's awesome. Ant-Man is the next. Do you remember Anthony saying back in the day when he was on these airwaves always saying that, because I always joke, we always joke around about Jimmy Butler being a Michael Jordan's love child. Mm-hmm. And Anthony saying said, no. It's Anthony Edwards. That's Michael Jordan's love child. The way that man's playing right now and the way he's flying through the sky and the nasty dunks. I mean, he hit his head on the rim with a block this year. The best block of the season. He's had at least two of the top three or four dunks all year long. Like, he's a damn stud. How can you not like Ant-Man? I like this damn Minnesota Timberwolves team. I really do. Edwards went off for 40 points the other night with nine dimes. Was just awesome all over Phoenix. They didn't have an answer. And, of course, how can you forget Kyle Anderson? He's on that team. Slow-mo. Minnesota-Denver, that series is on Saturday. It's going to be flat-out awesome. I cannot wait to watch. Cannot wait. Also got to give some credit last night from what I saw with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I will tell you, this is a fun team. They might be the youngest damn team ever to be a number one seed. And everybody talks about their how young they are. They're a bunch of little babies. But my goodness, this team has just got scores all over the court. I mean, all over the court. Did anybody think Jalen Williams was going to turn into this? Maybe Jalen Williams' mama. And I know he was a lottery pick, wasn't he?
He was.
Was he the last pick of the lottery?
He was close to it.
Close. I mean, I don't even know where he played college basketball.
Santa Clara.
Thank you. How was I supposed to know that? I couldn't remember Santa Clara. Santa Clara. Man, come out of Santa. I was like, Jalen Williams. This dude is a stroker.
He's the 12th pick.
He was the 12th pick, so he was in the lottery.
He was.
Okay, more people expected it than I did, for damn sure. But I'm like, when they got Jalen Williams, I wasn't thinking much.
Right. You're probably going, who's this kid from Santa Clara?
Like, exactly. That's exactly what I did. But dude is bad to the bone. And then I got to say, Lou Dort plays defense.
Sure does.
He gets up in your britches, bro. He's worse than Jokic. I mean, I'm telling you. Dort is all over the place. He's not that big, but he plays huge. He was, I mean, in that series, Brandon Ingram was so sick and tired of seeing Lou Dort up in his business. Every time Lou Dort was off of him, did you notice Ingram was shooting? He's like, that dude, he's not on me, man. Let me pull this sucker up. And he still didn't do jack. Dort held him the other last night. He scored 8 points. He's their number one option, man. 97-89 was the final. That under looked really good, buddy.
Sure did.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you can't tell, that's what I took. Also, that damn Denver game. In game, LA gets a nice little lead. You go money line on Denver -120, son. Kind of like that, too. But we're going to talk about our bets at the very end of the series because, you know, we got three basketball games going on tonight. We also have a little bit of baseball. Have not jumped deep up in the baseball. We will get into it, I promise you. I've been watching tons of MLB Network, loving a little baseball. You got day baseball today. You got Detroit and the Cardinals.
Doubleheader.
Cardinals and Tigers. You know who's pitching against the Cardinals?
For which game?
The first game. No, pitching against.
Oh, it's Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, dude. Are the Cardinals going to light him up like a Christmas tree?
I hope so.
That's an interesting one. But we have some baseball we're going to bet on. We're going to talk about again. I got some crazy Hardenwood stories. We're going to talk about Nick Saban. And I watched a lot of it, and somehow I missed this. I didn't see him talk about how he admitted to being a cheater when he was a college football head coach. I'm going to tell you more about that story, and I'm going to remind you why. You know, the problem with making people your heroes is that they're people. They always let you down because we are people. I mean, think about – Nick Saban didn't do anything, like, devastating. But I did see some people who were like, oh, my God, if Nick Saban's cheating. Bro, everybody's cheating. And nobody becomes a college football head coach without a little cheating. The old saying, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Well, that's pretty much the truth in everything, sadly. But it is. On the other side, though, I'm so excited. We have David Cobb from CBSSports.com. We're talking college basketball. We're talking college football, NBA draft, NFL draft. Man, we got a lot to get to. Don't touch that dial. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
The only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. It's a beautiful two for Tuesday. My goodness, man. If you're going to get two things, why stop there? Make it like three or four. Like bottles of Tito's. No, seriously, man. If life ever hands you lemons, don't freak out. Don't fret. Don't stress. Just make a lemon drop. Make sure it's with the best. And that's Tito's Handmade Vodka. You know it's American vodka, baby. Crafted and distilled down in Austin, Texas. Six times distilled, then stilled in classic copper pots. Very unique flavor. Slightly sweet with that black pepper note. It balances everything out. Doesn't matter if you're crafting a cocktail or drinking it neat. Get your Tito's on today. Hell, it's almost noon. It's almost Tito's time. What up, DC? How are you doing? It's David Cobb from CBSSports.com. What's up, homie?
What's up, John? How are you?
Man, you know I'm doing well, man. NBA basketball is in full swing. Tigers, they're always doing a little something-something. NFL draft was straight up awesome. Baseball, man, I can't complain about anything.
That's good. I always appreciate your positivity, John. You're real upbeat most of the time. I mean, I'm not going to lie. You know, you have a bad day every once in a while, just like everybody else. But, like, most of the time, man, I can count on you to lift the spirits. I appreciate that.
Man, I'm glad you said that. And I also got to tell you something, man. You've been lifting my spirits. I follow you on Twitter at David W. Cobb. I always find some great articles because you're always dropping some interesting things. But I honestly found very, like, something – like, the Pac-12 is now dead. It's gone.
R.I.P.
And they produced 8 first-round draft picks. That's the most for the league since 2015. Only the SEC had more. How crazy is it that we're saying goodbye?
Yeah, it's surreal. It's no longer the Power Five. I mean, that's official now. We've got, what, a few more weeks of Pac-12 baseball and softball, but basketball's done. Football's done in the Pac-12. We're now, you know, watching these spring games, talking about how Washington's going to fit in the Big Ten and how Arizona State's going to look in the Big 12. It's surreal. It's as big of a change to college sports as there has been in my lifetime from a realignment perspective, because there's been other realignment in the past, but it's been a couple of teams here and there. And the Big Ten expanding, and the SEC adding Missouri and, you know, Texas A&M. But now we've got an entire conference that's being dissolved and basically merging into three other leagues with the ACC, the Big 12, and the Big Ten, all adding Pac-12 teams. And then, of course, the SEC adding Texas and Oklahoma. So it's going to be jarring when you turn on the TV in early September and you see a Big Ten logo on the field at Austin Stadium and stuff like that. I don't know that I've fully wrapped my mind around that yet.
Man, that is going to be something that's going to be fun. But I'll tell you one thing, man, you know, like it's hard when you get older. Like it's hard for change. Like the older you get, change becomes a little bit more difficult. You know, I have two cell phones right now, which is crazy. But I'm the most anti-cell phone person in the world. These are difficult stories, David. I don't know if I need to talk about why I have two cell phones on the air right now. But just know I have two of them.
John, I wouldn't be surprised if you had three cell phones because you need one for your Tinder account, and then you need another one for your for your work. Weekly purchases, mm-hmm. And then you know, I mean, it's just yeah. I'm not surprised, and I could also see you rocking a flip phone. Like that, I could just see that.
Dude, I would love one of those old school joints, actually. That's hilarious. Now, I don't even know how I got off on this, the change. Oh, yeah, the change is always a little bit difficult for everybody, especially when you get older. But I will say, the way the SEC now is shaped out, the Big Ten, what it looks like, I am just like, okay, I'm so sold on some Big Ten and some SEC action. Big 12, I like what they've done. ACC, I still feel like they have work. And they also have so many question marks with their like how they're going to keep this conference together. What do you like? I feel like three are very, very comfortable. What do you think about the ACC though right now and where they sit?
Yeah, one thing that could impact the ACC is you know over the last 24 hours, this story has really taken off about how the NCAA is nearing a settlement. In a couple of court cases that would essentially establish and set up a revenue sharing model for the future. And it would likely require a $15 to $20 million per year budget addition to these athletic departments to share the revenue with the players. And to me, it becomes a question at that point of how many of the ACC schools are willing to do that? Wake Forest? And Boston College and University of Virginia, are they going to have the room for that? Are they going to be able to swing that with the ACC's media rights field being what it is? I have no doubt that Florida State, that Miami, that Clemson, and some of these other bigger brands in the ACC can make that happen. But there might be a divide in the ACC along the lines of this court ruling that comes down. That's just something to look at because we're on the precipice of a pretty big shift there. And the ACC is one of those swing leagues where you got some that have all the money they could ever dream of and plenty of booster support and all that. But then you got your Dukes and your Wake Forest and your UVAs and your BCs and some of these schools that aren't necessarily just your high-dollar athletic department. So, yeah, what's going to happen with the ACC? I think some of that may be determined by the results of this ongoing court case.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. I've been kind of keeping my eye on this, just kind of wondering to myself, that there looks like a little shaky ground possibly over there in the future.
Now, yeah, and that's in addition to Clemson and you know, Florida State looking at getting out of the grant of rights and all that. So it's there's a lot of moving parts there in the ACC. 5 years from now, the ACC will not look like it looks right now. I don't know exactly what that change is going to be, but you're either going to find some teams that sort of get their way out of there, or the lower tier, more poor schools are going to sort of, get left behind, something like that. So, yeah, the ACC is in an interesting spot.
I know there's some people right now waving Memphis flags up in the air saying, hey, we're over here, man. Like, check us out. So, yeah. Please come a looking. Now, I got to switch gears, and I'm going to talk about the draft, but not in the sense that you think of. When Nick Saban was doing TV with the Pat McAfee show and things of that nature, like I was shocked how good he was on television. I appreciated him instead of just kissing every single draft pick's keister and talking about how great everybody was. He gave praise. And then he also, you know, gave criticism, like when he was talking about Drake May and his footwork, et cetera. You know, like I actually enjoyed watching Nick Saban. I thought it was pretty funny. But then I didn't even catch this until I saw it on Twitter and the whole world seemed like they started acting like they had lost their damn mind. When Nick Saban admitted to basically cheating at Alabama, he said that, you know, the cornerback Quentin Mitchell, who was drafted in the first round, he you know, when they were talking about him, he said, man, we did everything we could to convince him to get in the portal. He was our number one guy to convince to get in the portal. The problem is that with that is you're not supposed to recruit other players while unless they're in the portal. You're not supposed to tamper. You're not supposed to – you know what I mean? And this is Nick Saban who's always complaining about the way college football
– Oh, yeah.
And you know, the way it's done now. And it seems like everybody's kind of lost their mind and been like, oh, my God, if Nick Saban's cheating, is everybody cheating? The simple answer is that. Is yes. Everybody's always cheating.
Like, isn't it interesting how he loses his filter once he's no longer the head coach?
Correct.
Once there's no longer repercussions or any sort of ramifications necessarily for what he says, then he loses the filter a little bit and you get a peek behind the curtain. And look, I bet it's not Nick Saban texting Kenyon Mitchell directly and saying, hey, buddy, hop in the portal. We'd love to have you. I don't think that's what it is, but there are all sorts of back channel, wink, wink, nudge, nudge communications going on in essentially every college sport, be it through an agent, an AAU coach, a high school coach, a parent, and those, you know, the people who are reaching out, they could be assistant coaches, they can be support staffers, they can be from the collective, there is no shortage of ways for it to be communicated to a mid-major player that they are in high demand at the high major level. And we are seeing that when I come out with my transfer portal winners and losers for college basketball in a couple of days after the deadline hits to enter, there will be no winners from the mid-major league. There are very few. And the only winners from the mid-major leagues are going to be those who somehow managed to keep their rosters together. Because you are not seeing mid-major teams in any college sport improve through the portal right now. They are all getting raided by the portal. And the fact that Toledo was able to hang on to a first-round draft pick is wild. And that will continue to be the exception moving forward.
Now, I think that this is unfair criticism. A lot of people have been calling Saban a hypocrite. And I understand, like, he complained about, you know, Saban was out there complaining about what college football has become, but he was still a part of college football, people, and he had to adapt with the times as well. And again, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Do you think Saban's a hypocrite, or do you think he was honestly just, you know, he was trying to be honest and saying, hey, things are getting a little bit crazy. You really don't have a clue how things really are.
No, I mean, look, think about it. In every industry, there's certain parts of the job that you don't love. I mean, I'm sure there's certain things about what you do that you wish you didn't have to do. There's certain things in my job that I wish I didn't have to do, right? Sometimes we got to aggregate some, you know, dumb story because we think a lot of people might read it, and I'm like, why am I doing this, right? Yep. It's every profession. There's things that you got to do that you don't necessarily want to do or that you wish were different about your profession or your industry. But if you want to survive and you want to be a part of it and you want to keep your job, you got to do them, and so tampering is a part of that. And you can turn, it's just like in everything in life, it's about plausible deniability. If you're Nick Saban, you just got to be smart about the way that you cheat, you know. And so you got to have multiple layers of protection. It's like, you know, Richard Nixon's big problem wasn't that he was trying to get campaign secrets; it's that he left a trail that led directly back to the Oval Office. You know what I mean? So
yep,
it's the Watergate. Same deal in college sports. If you're out there, I mean, you look, even these college sports coaches in basketball and in football who have tremendous reputation, who are regarded as being rule followers, who don't often get in trouble, they've got people on their staff and bag men and agents who either communicate with them through back channels or through people on their staff, you know, and so it's just widespread. Tampering is a part of it. NIL negotiations, it's pay for play. Like, we can call it whatever we want, but it's going on everywhere. And when you're in a competitive industry, it's just, you know, everyone's going to push the limits to the furthest extent that they possibly can.
Yeah, they definitely are going to do that. I mean, again, and you have to push the boundaries if you want to compete. I mean, because everybody's out there competing. It does make me think, though, back to Bruce Pearl and his little barbecues and the things that we, like, coaches used to get just smoked for. Like, I mean, have you thought about how much times have changed?
Yeah, it's amazing. And then we see Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back. Yeah, I think that's I've been on this horse for a while now. I call
that Vince Young's Heisman that he got back.
Yeah, that's a good call. Because Texas won that game, right?
Yes, they did. Vince Young in the corner with the touchdown, confetti.
Yeah, you know, if they'd handed out that Heisman after the postseason, it might have been Vince Young. Interesting discussion there. But no, it's like the one that I keep coming back to that I think is relevant for us now is like the way we look at Will Wade. And I think the way we look at Will Wade is going to change a lot over the next 20 years. Because you're talking about a young coach who is accused of doing something that everybody's doing now, which is making a financial offer to a prospect. And so in 20 years, we're going to look at Will Wade like we look at Bruce Pearl now. I mean, maybe he's not the squeakiest, cleanest guy ever, but we don't care about the infractions of the past anymore. And he's going to resurface and be a winner. And I think there's going to be a lot of coaches like that and players, too, whose reputations, like all the Ohio State guys under Jim Tressel and stuff, they were getting tattoos. And we were trying to make them out to be the villains of college sports for getting tattoos. And now look at what's happening. You know,
Dan Lanning's got his wife's cleavage on his tattoo.
Wow, yeah, I didn't know about that. But
you haven't seen that tat?
I mean, yeah, rep your wife, man. That's great. Big fan of that,
dude. I'm telling you, when we get off this, go Google Dan Lanning's new tattoo. His wife, I mean, it's a cleavage picture.
Interesting. I mean, hey, well,
I'm all for cleavage, bro. I've never ever been against it.
I'm not sure how that's going to help him in recruiting, you know, but he's an innovative guy, right? Product of the 901, spent some time in Memphis, so go Dan Lanning.
Man, I can't believe you haven't seen this tattoo. Am I like the only person that just finds the weirdest stuff that pop up on my timeline?
David, if it makes you feel any better, I haven't seen the picture either, so I guess, you know, maybe two against one.
Well, while you're doing nothing, you can Google it and you can tell us if it's warranted, if I think it's pretty wild. Now, I had another thing I wanted to ask you. Oh, it's NFL draft. I wanted to ask you because you went to the University of Tennessee. You love Tennessee. I was kind of curious. Joe Milton actually got drafted. You know, he looks amazing when he gets off the bus. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude can throw it a country mile. Does Joe Milton have any chance of maybe a coach getting around him and figuring out here to take a little bit off of his fastball?
It's going to take a masterful coaching job to turn Joe Milton into an NFL starting quarterback. Josh Heupel is a really good quarterback's coach, and
true.
He could barely turn Joe Milton into a serviceable SEC quarterback, so now you put him in the NFL, and I do think he has a chance to stick around as a backup, though, for many years, because you're always going to have a GM or a coach who's just, oh my gosh,
6 foot five, yeah.
Right, yeah, that the tools are always going to be there. The tools will be there until Joe Milton is in his mid to late 30s, barring some sort of an injury situation, but in terms of him actually executing and running an advanced NFL scheme, I don't see that.
Yeah, I hate to say it, I don't either. Drake May, though, the team that the, you know, the quarterback that the Patriots drafted to replace Mac Jones and of course Tom Brady, I think he does have a chance. He works on his footwork; he'll be fine. He's a big, strong kid. But Joe Milton, I don't know. I just thought I found it surprising when the Patriots picked him in the sixth round. I was just like, damn, man, like.
Yeah,
really?
That was, I mean, a shocker. The run on quarterbacks was something to behold in this NFL draft. I mean, I don't know that anybody ever saw
six of the first top 12, Bo Nix. Man, please, can I ask you this? Is Sean Payton's ego going to be the downfall? Like, he's living off that Drew Brees Super Bowl, bro, for a long time. He's already run up Ronald Wilson out of there, and now his quarterback room is – dead gum, Bo Nix, and I can't, Jared Stidham, and who's the other fool that's on that row? Oh, and he got Zach Wilson. Like, you got three dudes that are very questionable.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's an NFL starter in the bunch there in that quarterback room. But, yeah, kind of crazy to see the emphasis on QBs. And I don't know, I guess it tells you something about the 25 draft class, too, because who are the star college quarterbacks next year that are
Carson,
like, oh, yeah.
Beck, Shador, yeah. Sanders, that's about it. Like, I mean, those are the two front runners.
Yeah, and I would say I would put both of those guys behind every single one of the college quarterbacks who was taken in the first round. this past year, like, or a few days ago. So it's like, I mean, Carson Beck, I could see him playing his way into that.
He could be like a Matt Ryan or something.
Yeah, I kind of view him similarly to how I would view a J.J. McCarthy, which is, okay, he had a massive talent advantage around him.
Good point.
He managed things well, but is he the sort of dynamic, game-changing, franchise-defining player that you would expect when you spend a first-round pick on a quarterback? I don't know about that. I think he's a little bit limited in some ways. So, yeah, wow. It makes you curious sort of about who might emerge in college football over the year ahead, because there's going to be room for somebody.
Hey, Johnny Manziel came out of nowhere, remember? We couldn't even we were calling him Manziel first 2 weeks down in Texas.
That's exactly right. Who's going to be that guy, that quarterback in college football this year? I think there could be three or four of them who just sort of, oh, wow, okay, now we got a star on our hands, and all of a sudden this guy who we weren't talking about, we're talking about as a draft pick, maybe a Connor Wegman at Texas A&M, or hey, here's one, Jalen Milroe under Kalen DeBoer.
Ooh.
I'm not predicting it, but Kalen DeBoer is really good with quarterbacks.
Let me tell you something. If he can get just, I mean, we saw Mike, I mean, we saw Jalen Milroe improve from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. My man's got elite speed, and he throws one of the prettiest deep balls you've seen. He's just got to learn how to read defenses.
Yeah, maybe
by the way,
can
saying that, saying he's just got to learn to read defenses. I mean, you know, that's not an easy thing to do, but if he can get it done, he could be nasty. Last question I have to ask you, if Bo Nix doesn't leave Auburn, is he even drafted? Or, I mean, or is he right now selling insurance?
he sure as heck wouldn't have been a first-round draft pick. I mean, I know Hugh Freeze has a good reputation with quarterbacks, but I wasn't overwhelmed with what he did with Peyton Thorne last year. And thank goodness Bo Nix didn't follow Gus Malzahn to UCF, because that marriage had run its course. I mean, what a find by Dan Lanning, and what an excellent reclamation project there. It just goes to show sometimes a change of scenery is all you need. It makes you curious about what Dylan Gabriel might do out at Oregon this year. That guy's been around college football for a long time.
Central Florida, Oklahoma, now Oregon. He just keeps going farther west.
And he's always been good. The knock on him is going to be the tools and the size. But, man, if Oregon produces another NFL draft pick at quarterback after having Bo Nix in there as a transfer, then it's going to become the quarterback transfer destination in college football. And it already kind of is, because they also have Dante Moore from UCLA, former five-star guy who's going to take the job after Gabriel. So, man, I like what Dan Lanning and his staff are doing out there at Oregon. They're making a name for themselves. They're making Oregon attractive based on actual merit and success and on-field results. Whereas with Mario Cristobal, it was always smoke and hype and recruiting buzz and whatever. Whereas like with Cristobal, or with Dan Lanning, there's actually substance behind it, and that's been refreshing.
Man, what are you working on these days? By the way, what you got coming down the pipe over at CBSSports.com?
Yeah, another kind of big week on the college basketball front before my focus transitions more fully to the upcoming football season, because this portal deadline is this week, and so there's a lot of content to center around that. And then sort of once we get past that, it's more football-oriented, and then, of course, the NBA draft, I'll contribute some on that. But, yeah, it's getting to be that time of year where the calculus shifts back a little bit more towards football. So looking forward to having some of those conversations in the weeks ahead.
David, I could talk with you all day. Man, you just had me, like, you know, bringing up even Oregon quarterbacks. I was thinking of Keely Smith, to Marcus Mariota, to Justin Herbert, to now Bo Nix. They always do that. They put in guys in the National Football League. And the cool thing about David is you can talk college basketball, college football, the NFL. You can talk it all. Make sure you go read his work at CBSSports.com. He's the very best. David, be blessed. Thanks for your time, my friend.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
That is David Cobb. Telling you, he's the man, the myth, the legend. We got to take a quick timeout. On the other side, though, well, not on the other side. I got a little update for you. I'm going to just give you a little something. And then we're coming back with Zach Boyd, because we got to talk about tonight's action in the NBA. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
All the wisdom of the universe is in these bones.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio, hanging out with Brian Dacus all day long, all day strong. You know you get to listen to him from 3 to 6 and Brett Norsworthy. We got a lot of basketball to get to. Last night we also watched Boston take care of business. Let me just tell you something. Boston might be in a little bit of trouble, man. Like, Boston could be in a little bit of trouble. Kristaps Porzingis, no mas, man. He had to leave that game. He was going to set a screen, came up lame real quick. You knew immediately, started calling for help. It's a calf strain, they said. They're still checking. They don't believe it's an Achilles. But, dude, he's a big part of that team. I don't think you can expect 38 points every night from Derek White.
That was crazy game.
His season high, his career playoffs high was 16 points. He had that in the first quarter last night. Or at least early into the second, maybe. Very, very early. But I know he went the bleep off.
Yeah, sure did.
And the whole Bam, Jason Tatum thing. Jason Tatum, don't pull up and shoot the ball. Foul was called on the ground. Bam's not going to give you a free shot. I don't blame him. I can't believe they called. Man, I don't know. Nuts. And these guys are teammates on Team USA. Bam and Jason didn't look like they liked each other too much last night. Al Horford came in there and kind of knocked Bam out of the way. But the Celtics beat the brakes off the Heat, 102-88. Zach Boyd's going to join us on the other side. We got to talk a little NBA action, you know what I mean? But I also got to remind you, sometimes you need to get away. Have you needed to get away lately?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Is everything okay, Dacus?
Yes. But, you always need to get away.
Man, I got a spot for you. 4632 Winchester Road. You can get away to Getaway Sports Bar. That's right. It has got 15 monster TVs, coldest beer in town, 6 pool tables, 2 dart boards, a golden tee, great bar grub, wonderful atmosphere. That's 4632 Winchester Road. You can get a cold beer anytime, any day, 24/7, 365 at Getaway Sports Bar. It just makes you feel great to sometimes get away. Don't touch the dial. Zach Boyd's next. Don't forget, 12:30, we have Hardenwood on Sports 56, 98.5 FM.